OBM, Ohio Business Machines, Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town.
Only one.
So, OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble, Nathan, ever, to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty, for 216-578-0850. We'd love to hear from you, and I think some of you are dialing us up as I'm speaking, and
you know
our
what I want
producer,
to know?
Matt Fontana, will get those calls in. What, Nathan?
So now
what
the quarterback battle is settled, and and it's done. What are the other battles that you are the most interested in, and what position area remains your biggest concern for this team headed into the 2014 season? So that's something.
Yeah, we'll put that on the table. Can I answer that?
You can.
My first stab at that? I'm going to start with the inside linebacker spot.
Yep.
I think that's fascinating to me. Because Chris Kirksey has shown an elevated level of awareness and just his instincts to go along with just understanding football, understanding the position that he plays, that rookies and linebackers, there's such a learning curve there, especially inside linebacker. He, as I have been hearing it from the coaching staff, when he's in a position to either call plays in the huddle, relay plays that are signaled in, he does it flawlessly. And adjustments that have to be made, he picks those up perfectly. He's outstanding in coverage. I think he steps up pretty well against the run. I think Craig Robertson, who has had a very nice camp, for a guy whose job has been on the line because of Kirksey's presence, I give Craig Robertson a lot of credit for holding his own. But, Nathan, I think a point of reality comes, and this kid is likely to pass Craig. It could happen as soon as the opener. I think Saturday, more so than probably Sunday, or excuse me, Saturday more so than the finale, is going to be very telling as to where we see Kirksey begin this season. Does he begin as a backup who plays a lot, or does he begin as a starter?
I certainly think he's going to be considered a starter in terms of the nickel situations.
Right.
And Mike Pettine yesterday said that, you know, he would consider Kirksey and Robertson basically co-starters. I think that as play evolves, Kirksey's going to be 100%. He's going to be out there 100% of the time alongside Carlos Dansby. I think that he has shown as a rookie phenomenal instincts. He flows to the ball. He's a great tackle. He is physical. That is one thing that these players and coaches continue to cite when they talk about Chris Kirksey, just how physical this kid is and how he attacks the game and attacks football, backing down from no one. Great in coverage. So I think it's only a matter of time. Craig Robertson has made big improvements from last year. I think he's been very good, certainly against the run, blitzes. Now, he did get blown up on the way to the goal line by Evan Royster in the game on Monday night, but it was also instrumental in one of the tackles at the goal line, the first goal line stand. So Craig Robertson has his limitations. So you saw when he got out in space with a guy like Jordan Reed. That's not where he is going to succeed. Jordan Reed had a nice shake to the outside and a completion over the middle against him. But I do believe that Craig Robertson has shown enough to get some opportunities. He's very good on special teams, and ultimately it will be Chris Kirksey's job. But Craig Robertson, I think the work that he has put in and the improvement he has made from a year ago has been phenomenal. And even though, you know, Kirksey is probably the better option long-term and probably in the short-term as well, that doesn't mean that Craig Robertson has not done a lot to really improve and has been someone who's caught, I think, and turned a lot of heads with just how hard he's worked and how much better he's gotten.
Yeah, and so that's a spot. I'm going to close the book on the corner spot opposite Joe Haden because Justin Gilbert has it.
Yep.
The injury, obviously, to Buster Skrien adds to the drama a little bit there, and he's had the thumb surgery, so we'll see what his status is. But I think it's quite clear that the Browns trust that this rookie can go out there and start. And then when Skrien is healthy, and I hope it's sooner, obviously, rather than later, he can go in and cover that nickel role. Little nervous about the corner depth because I don't see a readiness yet with Pierre Desir to step out there in a meaningful way because he's just so raw. And the transition, I think, has been very tough. All right, 216-578-0850. This guy loves to call the show. You know what? So we love to have him on. He is Reggie, our friend from Youngstown. Hello, Reggie.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? I'm really enjoying hearing
Good.
What you guys are saying, man. Everything you guys are saying. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
That's for sure. And I wanted to say just three quick things in general. One, fellas, I do believe that the Cleveland Browns, our beloved Cleveland Browns, will beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, on our first game. I truly, in my heart, believe they're going to beat them. I don't even believe it's going to be a problem.
God, I hope you're right.
I think, to me, would you guys tell me after I get off here what you think? I think that our coach should just keep in our players' mind that they should be looking toward making the playoffs. If I was head coach, that's what I would install every day, thinking about being in the head, you know, being in making the playoffs right there. And the last thing I'm going to say, guys, and you all comment on it for me too, is the fact I think that if our offense is a little bit down, then right now we should let our defense, you know, it might take our defense to really kind of pull the games out. If that's caused them intercepting until our offense get on, you know, get in stride and get on track, let the defense be the team. Because all the great teams have always had a good defense, and a lot of times the defense is the one that turns it around. So if we're having a little problem offensively, guys, I want to know what you all think. I say, you know, let our defense be the offense and the defense. Thanks a lot, fellas. Love you guys.
You got it. Thanks, Reggie.
Love you too, bud.
You want to see balance, ultimately. You want to have that good defense complemented by the good offense, because that's where, as seasons go on, you can get attention in the locker room, et cetera, if, you know, you're really going down that road where the defense is doing everything. I think this defense is going to be good. I do think this team's going to be able to run the football. And obviously, I think ultimately what you're looking at is a team that is going to play similarly to, you know, the older Jets teams that Mike Pettine saw, where they could play D, they could get off the field, they could create turnovers, and, you know, they do the best that they can on offense with a very good power ground game and then mixing in some play action. So I think that's going to be the case. Yes, this defense is going to pick the team up, but this team is going to need to score points to win. You must score in the National Football League to win. It is one thing to have a good defense, but you need to be able to complement that and at least be competent on offense. And I think that right now, given the pending suspension of Josh Gordon, is going to be the biggest challenge for this team. Let's go to Eric in Akron now. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hi guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the game on Monday night. You guys pretty much touched on everything I wanted to say. You know, Mingo's flying around. Everyone's flying around. I feel like their defense looks really fast.
It is fast. I think it's significantly faster than a year ago, in fact.
Yeah, and a lot more physical. Mingo looks really physical. You know, I was really impressed with Mingo.
Yeah, so was I. As I talked about, you know, he had a couple times where he was able to set the edge, force a running back inside to get tackles there. He was able to run across the entire field, which I thought was very, very interesting when he did that to chase down Alfred Morris and make a tackle, got pressures, made great reaction on a screen. Yes, this defense, and tell me if you've noticed it too, but it flows to the ball and gets down, and everybody is hustling. You can see it from the backside, from defensive linemen on. Nobody gives up. Nobody quits. A lot of hustle and a lot of speed. There just is a lot of team speed out there.
I'm going to stop short of saying that, first of all, I agree about the flow point you made, but I'm going to stop short of saying that Barkevious Mingo is a different player than he was last year, only because I want to see more evidence of it. And the problem he had last year was sustaining what he did after a strong start into the regular season. For the length of the regular season, it was basically a quarter of a season of flash, and then we saw nothing else. So on that basis, and the kid admittedly hit a rookie wall, and it was devastating for him as he talked about it, and it was painful for him to even recount when asked about it. So in year number two for him, it's about sustaining himself, and physically, can he get there? At 230-something pounds, not the biggest guy, so I think the physical challenges of staying strong for a whole year are there. I do see, though, the running, the fluidity. I see better decision-making. I see better anticipation by him. I definitely see a guy who not just pursues the ball carrier, but just takes great angles to the ball and puts himself in a position to make a play, not just get close or buzz by. When you saw the other night, when you saw RG3 scrambling, who was coming over from the opposite side to give him the additional hit to make sure he went out of bounds. That was Barkevious Mingo. All right, coming up, Jim Corbett of USA Today, he covers the NFL, is going to join us shortly. We're going to bring him in to get his perspective on the Browns. He's been around this team a whole lot. He is Nathan. I am Vic. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford.
When mom and dad started to look into their retirement options, we weren't